Traveling this country over the last few months, I've heard all kind of worship. And tonight was just exceptional. Thank you so very much. It thrilled my heart and really encouraged my wife and I. And so thank you, Shades Mountain, for this privilege. I mean, what an exciting moment. I mean, it's not like I've had a great week. And tonight, I want us to end it well. We don't need to get into the red zone and not score, do we? I mean, we want to score. We want to win. We want to do and be what God wants us to be. It has been a privilege to serve our wonderful denomination. I have been all over this country. I'm about to go outside of the country in three different countries in the month of March. I'll be out probably about 17 days in and out, through, up and down, all kinds of ways and doing all kinds of things. And so pray for me along the way. And last week I started on Monday night. Last Sunday I started in Northwest Arkansas. Monday night I preached in Kentucky. Tuesday noon in Dallas. Tuesday night in Jacksonville, Florida. Wednesday night at the National Religious Broadcasters Nashville. Came here on Thursday. Friday night drove to Memphis and back to preach. And preached this morning at Trustville and here tonight with you. And tomorrow morning in Dallas twice. And so, it's a joy to be with you tonight. In fact, it's just a joy to be anywhere, and tonight I do know where I am, in case you wondered. All right? I'm at a great church that I've admired for many times with a pastor I've loved. Thank you, Danny. 18 years of service to your church today. Let's give God praise. What a great, great honor. Wow. Congratulations to you and your bride, and what a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful privilege it is. Now tonight, what I want to talk about, we've come to this moment to hear. I want to talk tonight about your personal commitment to completing the Great Commission. What is your personal commitment to completing the Great Commission? If someone were to ask me today, what is the greatest need in the life of most believers in America? I would tell them for that believer to have a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit on their life and in their life. We call that spiritual revival, the manifested presence of God in their life. If someone were to ask me, what is the greatest need in the church today? I would tell you the greatest need of the church today is for the church to experience a mighty fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit and for the church to have and experience a wonderful, wonderful spiritual revival. Our hearts before God, where the power of God flows and manifested presence of God spreads everywhere throughout the body of Christ. If someone were to ask me today, what is the greatest need in America? To me, that is an easy one. The greatest need in the United States of America is a mighty, mighty spiritual awakening. A time when God's people across this country have experienced renewal personally, renewal collectively as the body, and all of a sudden, explosions happen throughout the regions of the nation, sections of the nations, entire parts of the nation, where thousands and even millions come to Christ. The last great move of God in the United States was in 1857 and 1858. And in that two-year mighty prayer revival, out of 30 million Americans that lived then, over 1 million Americans came to faith and trust in Jesus Christ as Lord. And if God did it once, I declare in Jesus' name, He can do it again. All of that is imperative to us completing the Great Commission. Anything I say tonight goes back to the church on fire, goes back to you on fire, goes back to the nation that literally has so much firepower and so many resources that could explode the work of the Great Commission globally. But our nation needs to get its act together. And I am convinced that as the church goes, so goes America. And I want to call us tonight to doing one of the greatest things, if not the greatest thing, we could ever do with our lives. Finding our personal place in completing the Great Commission in our generation. I want to call your attention to God's Word tonight. I want to read from five books of the Bible. You say, wow, we're going to be here a while. No, you just need to listen fast. What I want you to do is honor God's Word with me. I want you to look with me to Matthew chapter 28, Mark chapter 16, Luke chapter 24, John chapter 20, Acts chapter 1. Got it? Matthew 28, Mark 16, Luke 24, John 20, and Acts 1:8. I want us to stand in honor of the Word of God tonight. I'm going to be reading from the Holman Christian Standard Bible. I hope that you have God's Word with you. I want to begin reading in chapter 28, a passage that I'm sure has been read all through this conference, but I cannot stop this conference, lead to a fulfillment of this conference without us reading this text again. Verse 18 through 20. Then Jesus came near and said to them, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you, and remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." And then if you would you look with me to the Gospel of Mark in chapter number 16, Mark chapter number 16. Jesus is recorded by the gospel writer Mark in verse 15 to 16, saying these words, "Then he said to them, 'Go into all the world and preach the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned.'" Luke chapter 24. Luke records the words of Jesus over in the 46th verse through number 49, Chapter 24 of the Gospel of Luke. The Bible says, "He also said to them, 'This is what is written. The Messiah would suffer and rise from the dead the third day.'" Look at verse 47, and we're in chapter number 24 of the Gospel of Luke. Are you with me? Let's go again. "He also said to them, 'This is what is written. The Messiah would suffer and rise from the dead the third day, and repentance for forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and look, I am sending you what my Father promised. As for you, stay in the city until you're empowered from on high.'" John chapter 20, verse 21, the Bible says, the Lord Jesus said these words. Jesus said to them, listen to this, "Peace to you. Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And then a passage I'm sure that has been read at this conference tonight, one of my favorite verses in all of God's Word, which really encompasses the other four commissions right here, giving us not only what it's about, what the power is, what the goal is, but how to do it strategically. Listen to what he says in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we thank you for the Word of God, and we pray as we deliver it tonight and unpack it for a few moments that you would speak to us and that you would motivate us, and Lord, you would light us up and put us on fire to complete the Great Commission with our lives. And we do pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Pastor Danny talked about it this morning, that you made a financial commitment to your church and what your church is going to do to try to complete the Great Commission over the next year. Now tonight we're asking you to do more than give money. We're going to ask you to make a commitment of your life. We're going to ask you to do something that I think personally cost you far more than what money cost you. Time, effort, focus, your life. For many of you, that may involve you really engaging somewhere locally or regionally like never before. For some of you, that may mean engaging nationally with some church planter or some ministry nationally, somewhere in this country. And for many of you, it might mean doing something globally that perhaps you've never done before, or maybe you've done many times before, but you're convicted and you're convinced that it's imperative for you to be a part of it. For some of you, it could be to give a portion of your time somewhere overseas for the sake of the kingdom of God. For some of you, it might mean you surrendering your life to full-time gospel ministry as a pastor, as a worship pastor, as a student pastor, as a church planter, as a missionary somewhere around this world. But regardless of what it is, all of you in the business world have the greatest track to fulfilling the Great Commission than any preacher I know. Because if we're going to ever touch this world, it's going to take all of you that are out here in the real world of business and activity and to complete the Great Commission in what you're doing. God wants to use you. Jesus died to save you, and Jesus, now that He has saved you, wants to send you for His glory. But what does He want you to do? I can't really tell you what He wants you to do, but I do know at the conclusion of the service, I'm going to ask you to try to define that to some degree. The need is great. With over 7 billion people in the world today, look at this. At least 3.9 billion people have limited access to the gospel of Jesus Christ. You think about how many churches exist in Birmingham, Alabama. I'm going to talk about that in a moment. Compared to what I just said, the need is great. And think about this next one. Of the 11,256 people groups in the world, we know that we have at least 3,052 of those groups that are both unreached and unengaged. And that means to our knowledge, there is no witness of Jesus to these people and any strategy to plant churches or any strategy to tell them about Jesus Christ and their need for Him in their life. But then you dial it back home to lost America and how lost it is. The United States population has 316 million people, and 238 million of them, 75% of this nation is estimated to be lost without a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. We have a nation that is in deep, deep need of the Savior. Do you believe that tonight? And then you dial that home right here to Metro Birmingham. I received from the North American Mission Board upon request the following information about your own region. According to 2013, there are over 1.1 million people living in a 7-county metro area of Metro Birmingham and Hoover. Approximately 45% of them are part of an evangelical church. Now, we would identify an evangelical church as being a church that believes the Bible, hopefully, or they're not truly evangelical, and that Christ is the only way to salvation, or they're not really truly evangelical. But we're just going by the signs here. And of that group, you just think about it, if you have 45% that are, that means 55% are not. So you have an area, even though it's deeply religious, one of the most religious in the South, you also have an area that is in deep need of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Bottom line is, open your eyes. God wants to use you. God wants to send you. Do you believe that tonight? You see, people are lost regionally without Jesus. People are lost nationally without Jesus. People are lost internationally without Jesus Christ. It leads me to ask us three questions tonight that each one of us need to answer. Question number one, what will I give my life and future to? Now, I want you to think about that question. There are a lot of students here tonight, a lot of young adults, a lot of older adults, maybe even a few senior adults. But I'm going to ask you tonight, you better ask yourself this question. Pretty big time question. What will I give my life and future to? Question number two, I want to encourage you to answer. What is my part in God's plan? What is my part in God's plan to reach the world for Jesus Christ? Listen, we can't do it by ourselves. But I got a plan. I have a part. God saved me to be a part of completing this commission. I always don't know what it is, but I keep trying my very best to discover it and to do it where I am. Are you with me now? God has that for you. I don't care if you're a plumber. Are you on your own business? Are you a part of corporate America? Are you a student at one of the high schools? Are you a student at one of our local universities? It doesn't matter what color your skin is. Doesn't matter what your background is educationally. Doesn't matter what your ethnicity is. It doesn't matter who you are. If Jesus has saved you, He has got you in a place for you to complete the Great Commission. You got to ask yourself, what's my part? My part. You say, well, my part's not very big. Don't act like that. Just do your part. Just do your part. Because when the parts come together, what happens? Praise God, the work gets done. Here's a third question for us. What will it take for me personally and for our generation? Generation being meaning everyone living at this time. All right? I want to use it in that phrase. What will it take for our generation to become the innovators and the trailblazers to complete the Great Commission in our generation? What will it take for me personally and for my generation? Wouldn't it be incredible if we could be the generation that could complete the Great Commission? Wouldn't that be awesome? Because when the commission is completed and that last person has been won, the Lord Jesus will return again. I mean, hey, that'd be a pretty exciting moment, don't you think? So tonight, I know fully that this church loves the Great Commission. You personified that. The Great Commission is telling every person in the world about Jesus Christ and making disciples of all the nations. That's what the Great Commission is. The Great Commission is telling every person in the world about Jesus Christ and making disciples of all the nations. The combination between Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Matthew 28. Put them all together, synthesize them together, and that's what it is. But could it be? Could it be? This is a question. That even though you have solved that as your path for your life, how's your pace? How's your pace? Do you need to accelerate your pace? Now, your pastor is a real runner. I learned this back in San Antonio when your global missions pastor and I ran in the morning. One morning when I preached to all those guys down in San Antonio one morning. And I knew that he had run one marathon, but I didn't know he was insane and run several. Now, if you put Danny Wood out and running with me, which I would never run with him because he would embarrass me. But I jog. I get it going, all right? But I'm just into doing it. My pace is rather slow compared to his pace. Are you following me? We have two different goals, all right? But the bottom line is his pace is faster than my pace, and I've never run with a man, but I know it is because most people's pace is. But listen carefully. That's not the point. What's your pace in completing the Great Commission in your generation? I declare that the problem is not our path. We got that set, but the problem is our pace. We got to pick up the pace. And pick up the pace means what? It means that we have to find a way, in a great way, to discover our place, our moment, our time to complete the Great Commission with the gifts God has given me in my life. Therefore, I want you to hang with me for a moment. I want to unpack something for you tonight that I think will really encourage you as you go. It might encourage many of you to go. Let me say it this way. First of all, the Great Commission, think about it, is authorized on one end. Think about this. By the authority of Jesus, and on the other end, by the presence of Jesus. Are you listening? It's authorized on one end by the authority of Jesus and on the other end by the presence of Jesus. I mean, Matthew 28, 18 and 20, what does it say? All authority, meaning Jesus has all sovereignty, all authority, complete and universal authority, all influence and all privilege has been given to Jesus. All of it's been given to Him. He is the resurrected Christ who has overcome death, hell, and the grave. He is the coming King. He has all authority. He is King Jesus. And that's authority for the Great Commission. And what does He tell us at the end of Matthew 28, verse 20? He said, "Lo, I will be with you," what? "Always to the end of the age." That means the presence of Jesus is with you when you go. So listen, doesn't matter what country you go to, doesn't matter if it's at your job, doesn't matter if it's with a friend down the street, doesn't matter what it is. When you share the Great Commission, when you share the gospel of Jesus Christ, Jesus has authorized you on one end with the authority of Jesus, and He's got you on the other end by the presence of Jesus. You don't go by yourself. He's with you in the good days. Are you listening? He's with you in the bad days. He's with you in the days of crisis. He's with you in the days of surprise. He's in you in the days that you don't know what's going to go on, but He's with you. And every now and then, there are things that happen in your life you don't understand. You shake your head at it and say, "What in the world's going on?" I'm telling you, He's with you. He's with you. Doesn't matter who you are, where you are, if you know Christ, He is with you. He never leaves you. He never forsakes you. Every Sunday morning when I'm in my office, right before I walk out, I walk over to a wall in my office that has the Great Commission on it. And I claim that text before I go preach. Because I claim it giving me all authority to go out and to preach in the authority of the Great Commission. And that's what every one of us have to do. You can go to work with the authority of the Great Commission. You can go to preach in the authority of the Great Commission. You can go to a mission trip with the authority of the Great Commission. You can sing a song with the authority of the Great Commission. You got the authority of the Great Commission of Jesus Christ in everything you do. So go do it to the honor and the glory of God. You cannot deny the supernatural power of God that is there and is real when He shows up and you're there sharing faithfully the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us what? In Acts chapter 1 verse 8, He reminds us, but you will receive what? Power when the Holy Spirit has come on you. Oh, listen, without God's power and without God's presence, we're never going to penetrate this culture. I mean, it doesn't matter how religious Birmingham is. Birmingham needs Jesus. Birmingham has a mighty need for Jesus. I mean, we can't be cute enough to compete with the culture. We're not smart enough at times to compete with the culture. But we don't need to be competing with the culture anyway. We need to preach Christ and Him crucified and raised from the dead. That's the hope of the gospel. And that's our power, and we need to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The second thing I want you to notice about the Great Commission is that it's anchored in the Word of God and centered on the mission of God. When you go and you share and you do what you're doing, I'm telling you, it's anchored in the Word of God and centered on the mission of God. Listen, the Great Commission is the Word of God. The Great Commission is we would categorize it as the final words of the Lord Jesus Christ before He ascended to be with the Father in heaven. It is His heart. It is His vision. It is His passion. It's who He is, if you may. And He's called us to be a part of this plan called the Great Commission. The words of Jesus that we read earlier in the service tonight, they cannot become the great omission. They must become the great commission of our lives. Now, many of you in Alabama, you're football fans. And I can understand that because y'all got some pretty good football teams. But with that, I mean, you think about it. Let's just keep it to Alabama and Auburn for a moment. You also have two pretty good football coaches. I know one real well. The other one I don't know. I'd like to know. He's an incredible leader. So the thing is, you got two great men. You got Gus Malzahn. You got Nick Saban. Now, I want you to imagine. I've never been. Well, I used to be in some of Gus's high school football talks. I mean, back when he was with us at our high school, but I haven't been in one of those sessions when he's a college football coach where he's about to send the players on the field, and nor have I had the privilege to hear Coach Saban do that. But I can tell you what those guys do. They finally wrap it up. And I mean, boy, within moments of halftime, or excuse me, moments of before that game, what do? They say, now guys, we got to do this to get it done. We got to do this to get it done. You know what to do. Now get out here and go get it done. Now listen, that's what Jesus was doing. He was giving us his final chalk talk, if you may. He was giving us his final moment, if you may. His final heart, if you may. And he told us to do the one thing that is on his heart more than anything else, and that's to reach the nations with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Look at it with me in Matthew 28, verse 19. He said what? Make disciples. Make disciples is the main imperative of the passage. We know that. Making disciples is not just calling people to faith in Jesus Christ, but it's also nurturing them to walk in their faith work, walk with Christ, and to take on his yoke, take on his character, take on who he is of all the nations, of all the people groups. We know that doesn't mean territories, nor does it mean nations like we think of nations in the world, but we think of ethnicities is what it means. And how is that accomplished? It's accomplished by three things. What do? We go, going, going. Many of you are going to go. Listen, in a moment I'm going to ask you about going. What are you going to do to go? Go. I mean, you want to know how to complete the Great Commission? You got to go. You got to go do something. Sooner or later, you got to go do it. All right? Sooner or later, you got to make a decision. I'm going to go. Doesn't matter whether it's go down the street, go down at some element here in Birmingham, or go somewhere in North America, or go around the world. Sooner or later, you got to decide to go. Going is a part of the Great Commission. And then what is it? Baptizing. Baptizing is a part of the Great Commission. Baptizing is a public declaration of when people meet Christ. It's how they tell the world they know Christ. It's how we become unified with all that we are in Christ. And so in that, we need to never minimize the power of baptizing people. So it's going and baptizing and what? Teaching is a part of the Great Commission. Teaching. While baptism declares your allegiance to Jesus publicly, listen carefully, and you follow him, teaching is instructing us about what it means to walk with Christ. And every one of us need to constantly be in the process of being made in the image of Christ. And that is making disciples. I like the way the International Standard Version captures this tense here in the verbs. Listen to this carefully. Therefore, as you go, that's good. Disciple people in all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I've commanded you. That's right. You see, the Word of God is anchoring the Great Commission, but it's centered on the mission of God. And world evangelization is a choice that we make, but it's also a fulfilling of calling in our lives. God has called all of us to world evangelization. And world evangelization, you know what Billy Graham said? Billy Graham said that world evangelization happens when awakening happens in the church. And that's the great need. We need awakening to happen all over America, all over the church, and when that happens, then global evangelization can occur. Oh, listen, many of our churches and lay people, they're giving their lives to all kinds of things, and many of them are good, but let me ask you, are they best? Are they best? There are many of you giving your lives to things that are great. Are they the best things you can give your life to? What is your part in committing and fulfilling the Great Commission in your generation? You've got to find that out. And then you got to follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit and go and do it to his glory. Third thing, listen to this now. The Great Commission has to be advanced personally, strategically, collectively, cooperatively, progressively, innovatively, and urgently. That's quite a loadful and quite a mouthful, isn't it? Can y'all see that on the screen? Think about that tonight. Advanced personally. That's you. Look, strategically. Collectively, that means together, cooperatively, progressively, innovatively, and urgently. So, Ronnie, what in the world do you mean? Those are nice, pretty words, but what do they mean? Well, personally, we've got to own the Great Commission. Did you hear me? We have to own the Great Commission. Ronnie Floyd has got to own Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Are you with me? You got to own the Great Commission. You got to own Matthew 28, 19 through 20. I have to own it. You have to own it. And listen, by the way, Shades Mountain, you've got to own the Great Commission. Cross Church has to own the Great Commission. We got to act like it's up to us. Because in reality, God wants it to be owned by us personally. But look, strategically, that's a great word, strategically. That's the one thing about Acts chapter 1, verse 8. It tells you strategically. You know what? Every church needs to have a regional plan to reach their region for Christ. Every church needs to have a national plan to reach America for Christ. Every church needs to have what? A global plan, an international plan to reach the world for Christ. That's Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And I want to just tell you, it doesn't matter how big the church is. Every church can do that in today's world. It's possible. So it's important that we have a strategic plan. And collectively, we have to do that, meaning that this commission is to be the church's commission. We have to collectively do that right here at Shades Mountain. Cooperatively, listen, that means that we need each other to get it done. We need each other to get it done. It can't be done with just one. It's got to be done with a lot of us. That's the great thing and the great joy about our church here at Shades Mountain and here at Cross Church in Northwest Arkansas. You know how we connect together? We don't connect together because I come and preach here. We connect together because we share the burden of taking the gospel through the ends of the age through giving through what we call the cooperative program of the Southern Baptist Convention and through the mission offerings of the Southern Baptist Convention that get it done nationally and get it done internationally. That's how we connect. That's how it started in 1845, and that's how it's still happening in today's world. You understand what I'm saying? So that's what united us was the singular commitment to the Great Commission. And that's what still keeps us together cooperatively. I'll give you a great illustration of cooperation. Right here on the second row is this young man named Drew Griffin. Drew, stand up for a moment. All right? Let everybody see your pretty face, Drew. Now, Drew's my guy. Drew came out of our church. All right? Drew's a great young man. I really believed at one time, Danny, this honest God truth, Drew was going to be the governor of Arkansas one day. But he had a problem. God got on him and God called him to the ministry. You know where he's about to go? He's already there. He's been there for what, 18 months now? In Manhattan. He's about to plant a church in Manhattan this fall, correct? All right, he's launching this fall. He's been working for 18 months now already to get ready to Manhattan. But why is he here? I'll tell you why he's here. Because he's a partner with your church, right? Isn't that great? But he's also partners with other churches, right, Drew? He's a partner of our church. We're ascending church. Are you listening to me now? What does that mean? Cooperation. We're working together to get the gospel done. Are you with me, church? Listen, celebrate that tonight. Celebrate it. Because that's what it's about. It's going to take us all to cooperate to get the job done. All right, let's move ahead, and we're going to move to a conclusion tonight, and that is we do it progressively. Acts shows the progression of the unstoppable kingdom of God. Think about it. It all started in Jerusalem, Acts 1 through 7. It went to Judea and Samaria, Acts chapter 8 and 9. And then it went all the peoples of the earth, chapter 10 through chapter 28, plus the New Testament, plus us, plus others. It's also got to be innovatively. Remember, we're the ones to become the trailblazers. We need to become the innovators to complete the Great Commission. I'm reminded of Acts chapter 13, verse 47, and it says, I have made you a light for the Gentiles to bring salvation to the ends of the earth. Oh, listen carefully. He shook his dust off of his feet with the Jews, and he took the gospel where the gospel had never been before. And he did it, what? With a great sense of urgency, because that's exactly what we must do. We must complete the Great Commission urgently. Urgently. I mean, listen, sometimes we're so business as usual, we act like we got forever and ever and ever to get this done. Hey, listen, layperson, you got one life to live. What are you going to do for the Lord? Pastors, missionaries, you got one life to live. You're going to be off wandering around doing this or that. We're going to get our act together and get it done. We got to work together to get the job done. Our new president of the International Mission Board, who came out of your city, David Platt, he made a great statement. He said these words. He said, every believer this side of heaven owes the gospel to every lost person this side of hell. And that is a great statement. Every believer this side of heaven owes the gospel to every lost person this side of hell. And that's why we go to the ends of the earth. That's why we make a difference nationally. That's why we commit ourselves to go and to do it regionally and locally for the sake of the gospel. We must not have the mindset, oh, I'll do it in 2018. You may be dead in 2018. You might be. I hate to bring that up. You might be impaired and you can't do anything in 2018. You may have financial disaster in 2018. But what are you going to do now? Now. Right now. On the end of each aisle, I want you to look for something. On the end of each pew, excuse me. I want you to get a copy of this. I want you to pass it down to every person in your row for a moment. We're just a few moments before we walk out of here tonight. But I want every person to have one of these that look like these. I don't know. I hope the choir's got some up here to my right and my left. Y'all have them? You good? Because I want y'all to commit, all right? That's good. Now listen. You got it? Everybody got that? Now look at it. Now this week you've been in a lot of things, but tonight ends it all. And let's just look at this tonight and think about how each one of us could fill this out. God has spoken to me and I'm ready to do something. And I'm going to commit. I'm going to commit to full-time mission service. That's a big commitment. But there's some of you, God's calling you. Or I'm committing to short-term mission service. Some of you, God's calling you. To some of you, I'm going to help others go on mission trips. That means you're going to step it up. Make sure they go. That they do not stay because they have lack of money or lack of prayer support, but you're going to come alongside of them. I'm going to help by praying for missionaries. Or I'm going to do something else. I got in my mind I'm going to do. I'm going to go. I'm going to go to here. I'm going to go there. You can write whatever you want to write in there. Or maybe you have previously made a commitment to mission service, and I'm going to reaffirm this commitment tonight. Here's what I want us to do. I want each one of us to complete one of these. And in a moment, I'm going to ask you to leave where you are after I pray. And I'm going to ask you to come to the nearest aisle. And I'm going to ask you to bring this. And I'm going to ask you to lay it down right here as your commitment to God. And when you think about that, here's what I want you to think about. This is my commitment to helping complete the Great Commission. Are you with me? My personal commitment to help complete the Great Commission. Again, what did I say to start off with? You've made a financial commitment today? That's wonderful. Praise God. I want to applaud you today. May the Lord bless you and honor you in every way. May He meet your needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Because that's really the only time that verse is fulfilled contextually, because they further the gospel there in Philippians 4. But tonight, whole different thing. Life commitment. What does that mean? You define it how you want. You say, I don't like any of those blanks. Okay, make your own blank. Fill it in, baby. Blank sheet of paper. You and Jesus. Just write it down, and we'll try to discern what that is. So I'm going to ask you in a moment, as soon as I pray, to come. Bring this card. You can pray, lay it down. You can go back to your chair. I would encourage you to lay it down. Pray a short prayer. Make a commitment of the Lord to it. Say, God, this is what I believe you want me to do. I'll leave it in your hands, and then you trust Him. Father in heaven, I ask you now in the name of Jesus that the Holy Spirit would speak to our hearts. And we pray, Lord, as you begin to move all throughout this room, that we would hear God speak. And Lord, I pray that we would see you do what only you can do. God, I know the greatest need in the country is awakening. And we desperately need that so we can complete the Great Commission. But we must also be busy while we're seeking God for that, praying for that. We have got to get it done, and we pray that we'll get it done for your glory. Speak to people's hearts. And Holy Spirit, move. on them right now. In the name of Jesus. When they begin to sing, you begin to come all over this building and lay your commitment down to the Lord tonight.